All right, welcome to Hebrew Club. We are on Obadiah, only one chapter in the whole book, and we are in verse 8 of chapter 1. So we'll probably take at least one more time. We probably won't get done with it today, but we'll get as far as we can, and then we'll have to decide what you guys want to do next, tackle something a little easier. So we are right at the point where there's kind of a little shift in thought and focus here. But again, you'll see this kind of continuing theme of judgment against Edom, or Esau, as he's frequently called in this book. So we start with verse 8. Halo bayom hahu ne'um Adonai, v'ha'avadti chakamim me'edom, utevunah mehar esav. Okay, notice it starts out, the verse starts out with a question, halo. And notice that you do not see a verb in that first clause, which makes it kind of difficult. The verb picks up with a ve ha'avadti in the second line. So the first line is something, it's easiest seen in like a temporal clause. So is not bayom hahu, in that day, says the Lord, and I will destroy. So, okay, come on in, you guys. We just started. So you have to supply, so something like, will it not be in that day, says the Lord, comma, that I will destroy. So you see that the second clause is the main clause, and the first clause is in kind of a temporal relationship, okay, and that's signaled by the bayom hahu, all right. So ve'ha'avadti is from the root avad, and it is a hifil, perfect first common singular, to destroy. All right. In the call, remember, avad, we'll see a call form here in just a verse or two. The call means to perish, so it's intransitive. The hifil becomes transitive, not causative. So you would not translate, I will cause to perish or something. You would just simply translate, I will destroy. You're looking for an object. And the object comes next, chachamim. I will destroy wise people, from Edom. All right? And tevunah, and understanding, from Har Esav, from the mountain region of Esau, again, Edom. Remember, Edom was a descendant of Esau, and you see both terms here. Notice that it's kind of neat in this line. You go from the concrete chachamim, people, to the abstract term tevunah, understanding. All right, and you see that combination every once in a while as you're reading the prophets. All right, so I will destroy the wise men from Eden. So notice wise men, and even understanding from Mount Esau, from the mountain region of Esau. All right, remember in the previous verse, verse 7, ein tevunah bo, there's no understanding in him. So you can see that that's kind of a theme word or different kind of word here. All right. Mm-hmm. Any questions in verse 8 about the syntax? All right. Verse 9. Vekatu giboreka teman lema'an yikaret ish mehar esav mikatel. Okay. So you'll see this word, vekatu, a lot in the prophets. It's one of those double root letters, chatat, to be terrified. So notice that it is pointed, like this is kind of regular for those double root letters, like savav would be your theme word. So this is a simple call, vav plus perfect form, third common plural. Okay, it means to be shattered, and it can refer to objects, but in Obadiah and the prophets, a lot of times it refers to people's psychological states. So we even say that, you know, when we're thinking of ourselves, my ego was shattered, or, you know, the event kind of shattered my confidence, things like that. So a lot of translations will translate with something like, and they will be terrified, or they will be, you know, something along those lines. But you can translate, I think, and they will be shattered. You know, leave a little ambiguity, because it does refer to both the physical destruction, but also what's going on inside. Giboreka, your mighty men, your heroes. Okay? Otiman, so teman is a vocative form, and teman is generally taken to refer to Edom, the southern Edom, southern part of Edom, All right? And if you want to read Robbie's commentary, it's about 3 pages on where it could refer to and all this and in the Bible and all that. So I won't go into all those details because I frankly don't remember them all. Just that he finally got to the, but really, here's what it means. So all this other stuff, why don't you just tell me that before I read 3 pages? Now I know all about Timon. But no, it's, you know, if you're interested in that stuff, go there. All right.
Show his work.
Well, Paul never will listen to my Hebrew club, so I can say whatever I want about my good friend. Okay. Notice that Lama'a now is now purpose. So your mighty men, your heroes, will be shattered, O Timon, so that, or for the purpose that, Yikaret Ish. Yikaret, notice, is a Nifal imperfect from Karat, to be cut off. And Ish functions, you would translate it as each person or every person, each one. And each one, so that each one will be cut off from Mount the mountain region of Esau again. So notice Esau here is parallel to Teman, and Esau on the previous line is parallel to Edom. All right. Notice the last word, Mikatel. That is the min plus. This particular form only occurs once right here in the Hebrew Bible, and you can see the root katal, to kill. So here you would translate it as the min functions to indicate means, by means of slaughter. So your heroes will be slaughtered, O Timon, so that each one will be cut off from the mountain region of Esau by slaughtering. Everybody see that? Okay. Notice how throughout these verses, I mean, it's just kind of interesting that the min from functions in little different ways. Mm-hmm. So they'll be cut off from the mountain by means of slaughter. Now you're going to see another use right at the beginning of verse 10. Mechamas achika Yaakov tekasaka busha u nikrata leolam. Now notice min functions almost as causal. Because of violence, chamas, notice that is in construct with achika. Okay, so because of the violence of your brother Jacob. Now remember, whenever you see a construct form, you have to ask yourself, what's the relationship between the construct and the genitive? So notice here, your brother is not the subject of the action in the violence because of the violence your brother did, but because of violence that was done to your brother. So most translations will make that clear. Because of violence done to your brother Jacob. Remember, Edom and Jacob were related by blood. And now Obadiah is going to be describing what Edom did to deserve this judgment. And basically, you can see that they stood by while Jerusalem, his brother, was destroyed. That's kind of where the text is going to be taking us. So he brings it up here. So remember, you always ask yourself, genitive, construct, what's the relationship between the two? All right, and you'll see a little different relationship in another construction coming up. All right, so because of the violence done to your brother Jacob, yekaseka busha. Busha is the subject. Shame will cover you. Tekaseka. Everybody see that? That's from one of those third hey roots, kasa, to cover. It's a pl imperfect. Tekaseka. Shame will cover you. So it's the third feminine singular, imperfect form. Shame will cover you. Ve nikrata, and you will be cut off. Again, this is from karat, a nifal, second masculine singular. You will be cut off, le'olam, forever. Okay? Any questions? Everybody see where we're at? All right. It gets kind of interesting here in these next verses. Beyom amadaka mineged. Beyom Shavot Zarim Chelo Ve'Nakrim Ba'u She'arav Ve'al Yerushalam Yadu Goral Gamata Ke'achad Mehem. Okay. In the day of your standing. Okay, now look at the form Amadaka. It's a very well-known root, Amad, to stand. Notice it has a suffix on it. Whenever you see something like this, one of your first impulses will be to say infinitive construct. Okay, so notice that the suffix at the end of it functions as the subject of the verb amad. in the day of your standing opposite. Or in the day, in English, you know, you would translate with a finite verb, in the day that you stood opposite, mineged. Okay? And namely, what you're going to fill in here is stood looking at Jerusalem. So facing kind of Jerusalem. Okay, that's kind of what he wants you to think about. So in the day of your, and a lot of translations, because you stood aloof, in other words, you didn't do anything. Okay? In the day of your standing opposite, in the day, Shavot Tzarim. Okay, notice that that's from Shava, infinitive construct, to capture. Okay? Now, in the day of the capturing of strangers. Now notice that here, strangers function as the subject of the verb. In the day strangers captured Chelo, captured his property probably, Chelo, referring to Jerusalem's. Okay, so everybody see what he's doing. He's condemning Esau because of the violence you did to your brother Jacob. All right, shame will cover you, namely Esau, Edom, and you will be cut off forever. Now it's kind of explaining why. In the day of your standing opposite, in the day that you stood opposite them. Okay? In the day that strangers captured his property. So what he's saying is punishment's going to come because Esau stood by the side and watched as Jerusalem was plundered. Obadiah doesn't name the strangers, but if you take that this book was written during the exile or shortly thereafter, then Babylon would be the strangers. So Edom was either complicit in helping them or stood by and did nothing while they happened. Okay? That's kind of the idea. All right. Notice that, so you have Tzarim is one word for strangers in verse 11. The second word, Nokri, also means strangers. And strangers, Ba'u, came from Bo. And strangers entered Se'arav, his gates. Notice that here you have that Kerei Kativ reading. So the consonants in the Hebrew text wants you to read Sa'aro, his gate. The Masoretes wants you to read his gates. That's why they pointed Se'arav with those Shva, comets, and then why the Vav there has no pointing. Okay, because they want you to read Sha'arav, his gates. So, and strangers entered his gates, and over Jerusalem, Yadu Goral. Notice that form, and compare it with the first word in verse 9, Chatu. Remember, Chatu was from a root Chatat. Mm-hmm. So you can guess what Yadu is from. It's from a root what? Yadad. So that's a perfect form, a call perfect form. Those double root letter roots are murder. Mm-hmm. But notice the pattern is the same in both of them. Chatu, Yadu. And over Jerusalem, they cast Goral a lot. Okay? Gam Ata. You are as one of them. So because of their actions, he's considering Edom as one of the strangers, namely probably Babylon. He's going to treat them as such. Okay? Any questions? You guys good? It's a little convoluted, but when you get into the prophetic literature we saw with Amos, sometimes the syntax and the text is not the best.
So the strangers are specifically from Babylon, not general foreigners.
Well, you know, the foreigners aren't listed. So again, depending on when you see the age of the book, So Robbie, for example, gives a really good case. A lot of scholars agree with that it's written during the exile or post-exilic, so it's referring to the enemies. But there is an element in Obadiah, like all the other prophets, that sees in this destruction kind of a more eschatological look. Now his eyes, the prophet's eyes, seem to be focused predominantly on the near history. But you'll see some ambiguity in that. For example, in the reading, if you went to our Bible studies today in Amos chapter 8, all of a sudden Amos seems to lapse to that view a little bit when he starts talking in the middle of the chapter. Remember about on that day the sun will go down and the moon will be dark and all that kind of stuff. So notice all of a sudden you have this eschatological language used to describe a historical judgment because the prophet wants you to see the connection between them. Okay. All right. Now you see the syntax gets a little easier in verse 12. Ve'al teira b'yom achika b'yom nakro. Ve'al tismach livne uda b'yom av dam. Ve'al tagdel pika b'yom tzara. Okay, nice. And notice how you see this really regularity come in. So do not look. Notice that teira looks odd. It's from the root ra'a, to see, so it's something you know. And it's just a shortened form, so it's like a second person jussive. So these negative commands are what he's giving throughout. Do not look upon the day of your brother. So notice you'd probably translate something like, do not gaze at. Some translations might even go, do not gloat over, something like that. Okay? But more woodenly or commonly, do not look at the day of your brother, at the day of his nokro. That's a very strange, odd word used only here, no care. And so it's translated usually. Notice you can see that it's from the similar root as in verse 11, that no cream strangers. Mm-hmm. Do not look on the day of his foreignness. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you could, if you wanted to give it that force, it would be kind of like the day that he's treated as a stranger and the day that he kind of becomes separated from his Lord and from the land and all that kind of stuff. So you can see that the word makes sense. A lot of people will translate on the day of his injury or on the day of his adversity or something like that.
Well, when you said foreignness, it made me think of the act of being taken into exile.
Yeah, so the day of his... I would probably translate if I had to something like the day of his alienation. Mm-hmm. Because notice that all of a sudden everything familiar to Jerusalem and Judah was taken away.
Mm-hmm. Can't it be the day of his stranger in the sense of the victory of his stranger?
Of his strangers, yes.
Or like estrangement?
Yes, or the day of his estrangement. See, those are kind of interesting to think about. Again, the word's only used here, and so you're going by the root, and now, no, I love how our minds start to work. Okay, given the context, what would be a good English gloss that would bring this out? And there's various solutions. So notice you just start coming up with solutions, none of which we can prove, but it's good to hear, oh, estrangement, I like that better than alienation. Why? I'd have to think about it. Why? But, you know, see?
Well, I wonder if this is the only time this word occurs. Are there better, more precise words that Obadiah could have used, but this word is...
Well, it just depends. Yeah, you just don't know how... You don't know about the pointing of it, and you don't know how common it would be. We just don't have any other examples in the Bible. I mean, there's just a lot of things linguistic we don't know. But, I mean, notice he does seem to be making a play with the Nokrim in verse 11. Okay. So Nokri is a more common word. And Nakar, the verb, means to recognize or to know or something like that. So Nokrim is a pretty more common word for stranger. And it's parallel to Zarim. So that's why I kind of resonated with Aaron's kind of the whole estrangement thing. So it's the turning of the tables. And what did Edom do except looked on and watched it? Mm-hmm. It's at least worth considering that when you're thinking about it. I mean, because there's... Notice how we start to think without even expressing it, the kind of theological implications behind the description of the exile that way, you know, and then Edom's complicity in it. I mean, there's another aspect here that I think Michael was picking up on. If Edom was considered Judah's brother, so notice that plays in with the estrangement or the alienation. Your family, so to speak, your blood, and here you're watching this as if he was a stranger, you know. So all these kind of fruitful questions come to my mind just by that one word. Huh. So do not rejoice over the Judahites, the sons of Judah. Notice Banim here doesn't literally mean sons, but as a class or group of people. In the day of Avdam. Here, notice, this is the call infinitive construct of Avad, to perish. See, and now the suffix on it is the subject, on the day of their perishing. All right? And notice how he switches from singular to plural, your brother to the sons of Judah, kind of, and he's done that throughout the book. We saw that in Amos as well. That kind of thing happens a lot in prophetic literature. Okay? And do not tagdil. That's a hifil from Gadal, means to be great. Here's the hifil then, would all of a sudden make it transitive from stative to active, either transitive or intransitive. Here it's transitive. Do not widen your mouth. Some translations go idiomatically, do not boast. Okay? In the day of trouble, tzara. Okay? And we have to stop here because we've been going 20 minutes. But again, you can see just if you glance, notice that those owls continue all the way through verse 14. So we've got a couple more verses to go. All right? Very good. We will stop here. Thank you, guys. And we'll take it up next week and hopefully finish Obadiah. Be thinking of what you want to do next. Maybe we want to do some narrative or something.